What's up, guys? Hope you're doing well. Cloud with you here. And we are doing Raised to Life testimonials on the podcast for the week after Easter and the week after Raised to Life. So that's 10 episodes. And so what this is we have a baptismal service, Raised to Life, that happens the week after Easter. And it's basically, you know, it's a big baptismal push. But that the Raised to Life Sunday, I wanted to do, we've done this for about, I think, 3 or 4 years now, but have people come on and just give their testimony about when they were, I'm using air quotes, but raised to life. In other words, when did you get saved? And then a little bit about when you got dunked, baptized. And so, Chris Myers, what's up, Chris?
Hey, not much, Cloud. How are you, sir?
Thank you for coming back on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
New Vision, long timer, left, came back.
Glad to be here.
And so, with that being said, I'm just going to throw it over to you, just about when were you saved, baptized, and then if you have any takeaways for the audience.
Yeah, I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was in full-time ministry since before I was born. My mom, actually, later in life, she was in full-time ministry. She was in preschool ministry. And so I come from that type house where we were always at church and just life kind of centered around church, and probably heard the gospel literally hundreds of times. You know, church, home, just that was just part of life. But it wasn't until I was 9 years old that it, now I know that it was the Father opening my ears to hear, the gospel message. And I began to really understand that, oh, wait, this whole deal, I'm a sinner. And apart from Jesus as my Savior, I am separated from God, and my sin is separated from God. And I remember asking my parents a lot of questions and having a lot of conversations around that. I do remember, actually, the pastor came to our house, and he was, I know what he was doing now. He was walking me through that, and I was, you know, shy and all of that. And I remember he was trying to express to me, you know, that that eternal life is a free gift of God, right? According to Ephesians, or according to Romans. And the he had a pen, and he said, if I was to give you this pen, you know, what do you need to make it yours? And I thought, I didn't know what to say. I was kind of cowering behind my parents, all of this kind of stuff. And I remember him basically telling my parents that I wasn't ready, that I didn't understand what it meant to truly, you know, have faith in Christ. You know, looking back, I didn't truly understand what it was he was trying to do with that pen, maybe. Yeah. But I do remember when I felt like I was ready. I understood. I do remember going into the pastor's office on a Sunday morning, which is probably not advisable. I don't think I was invited, but I went into the pastor's study on a Sunday morning before Sunday school because my parents were involved in church. We were there really early.
You get a little more access.
Yeah. And I went in and I said, hey, you know, I'm ready. Something like that. And so, that's when I surrendered my life to Christ. I understood for the first time that, I was dead in my trespasses and sins, and apart from Christ and what he had done for me on the cross and his resurrection, that I was separated from God until I made him my Lord and Savior, that I believed the gospel, that I repented of my sin, and that I committed to follow him. And so it was at that point that I did that. Did I understand everything about what it meant to be a follower of Christ? No.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand all the small print at that time, but I did know that that I'm saved by grace through faith.
Amen.
And so that's when I was raised to life. And so it wasn't long after that, I'd say in a matter of a couple of months, the way that I remember the way that we did it in the church back then was, it was probably quarterly on Sunday nights, back when, you know, all the
batches,
all churches, yeah, had Sunday night services, like once a quarter, they did baptisms, and I was one of the baptisms. And so I was, you know, 9, maybe 10 by that point. But I just, I can still clearly remember some things about the day that I was saved. I can still clearly remember some things about even the day that I was baptized.
That's awesome.
But I do understand that it's not, you know, my salvation is not based on me remembering every word,
yeah,
of the, you know, of that. And
did I say it exactly right?
Yeah. I don't know. And there's probably times that I got hung up on that, like a lot of people do, that like, was I actually saved back then?
Yeah.
Did I say the right words? I don't remember a special feeling. I don't remember all this. And it's like, no, I was saved by grace through faith, and it's not of myself, so that I can't boast. You know, that's when God saved me. That's when God opened my eyes to see and my ears to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believed it. I repented of my sin, and I made him Savior and Lord that day.
Amen, man. You made a mention about the pen story, where it's like you were maybe having a little trouble grappling with the free gift part of the gospel presentation. Being a staff kid, growing up in church in it all the time, I'm assuming, right, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but there's a certain level as being a ministry kid where you're on your behavior, right? There's the moralism, the tip-top shape, do better, try harder type behavior modification versus the sin like part of the gospel presentation. In other words, you said, I was dead in my sins. I realized the penalty for my sins. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that being a struggle for you? Like, you know, a lot of times we're like, well, have you ever told a lie? You know, have you, whatever, to show the sin side of that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah. I would say for that point in my life, I knew that even what I would consider, you know, small sins, I knew
you
was
knew.
Sin. The thing that I did not learn until later in life as I was discipled, some of the good things that I did, because I did the heart behind those good things that I
for
did,
the wrong
I
reason.
Also recognized that that was sin. And so I learned that I not only need repentance and forgiveness for the bad things that I've done, I also need repentance and forgiveness for the good things that I've done out of a prideful heart or out of a way to earn something from God. And I think that's a thing that's missing a lot, maybe especially like you say for kids that grew up in church and where you kind of almost grow up. I don't know if everybody's this way, but I felt like I grew up in a everybody sins. You've got to manage it, you know, and you got to make sure that you don't let anybody see the really bad stuff.
And you were heightened at that from an early age compared to most people.
Yeah, very definitely.
So all that, I mean, just the being aware of your sin, and that's profound as far as like even the good things we do can also be sin because of our motives.
Yeah.
That plus accepting the gift, you can't earn it, right?
Yeah.
All that is a work of the Holy Spirit who changed you and brought you to that, whether you're 9 years old, you were nine, or 59, right?
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
ultimately the takeaway for each of the episodes this week is if you're a Christian, if you're born again, then you have a salvation story. Doesn't matter if you're at VBS, you know, in second grade, or you're a gang member dealing drugs or whatever, you know, later in life. It doesn't have to be this like, woo, amazing story. Like, if you're a dead person who's been made alive, then you have a story, and it is amazing, not because of you, but because of Christ. And so every episode, this is going to be repetitive. The takeaway is like, you have a story, learn to tell it and tell it well. We've gone about 8 minutes now, so this, you can have the 8 minute version or the 30 minute version. Either way, you have a story, tell it and tell it well. And so that's kind of the ultimate takeaway. But Chris, we were talking about actually before we recorded, and you shared a really profound story. I think you were going out to eat and someone challenged you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When I went to a Baptist university, Oklahoma Baptist University, go Bison. And I remember there was a guy, a friend in the car. We were in a fast food restaurant. There was a girl that I was dating that was with us, and he was kind of giving me a hard time about things, trying to embarrass me in front of her, basically. And most of it was just joking around, but he was asking me questions about my family and, you know, and all that. And both of my parents having been in ministry, he just said jokingly, "When are you going to make your faith your own?"
That's good, man.
And it stuck with me because I was like, I don't know if I had a great answer at the time for that. Like, and I had to ask myself, like, is my faith my own? And so that was one of those times that truly was, I don't know if I'd call it a turning point, but really began to make me think like, okay, do I just believe this because my parents told me that I'm supposed to believe this, or is this what I actually believe? And I know we're short on time, but going back to the importance of our story and sharing that, and the fact that all of us are walking miracles because we have been raised to life.
Making your faith your own.
Yeah, I didn't realize this in seminary. I had a class in seminary that it wasn't a grade, it wasn't required, but the first day of class, he said, you know, I'm sending around a sheet and you sign up for the date that you're going to share your testimony. And so everybody did it. And I hate speaking in front of people. I have such a fear of that.
Same.
And so I went to the professor and I said later, hey, my date's coming up. I'm scared to death to do it. And really, my testimony is no big deal. I wasn't into drugs and I did all these. My testimony is no big deal. And I'd rather not share it. I remember him saying, I'm not going to require you to share it, but your testimony is a big deal.
Amen.
You know, he didn't use these words, but you were raised to life. You once were dead and now you're alive. And that was that's something that I still hold on to, that, you know, now that I preach and I do other things, I don't ever stand in there confident in myself. I stand there and I'm able to do what I do by the Holy Spirit's power and the conviction that God's called me to share his story, whether it's something directly from scripture or a story of what he's done in my life.
Amen, man. The word of God and then his story played out in our lives. Mm-hmm. Chris, thank you so much again. Always enjoy talking with you. Y'all have a great day and keep tuning in on these episodes, and we'll see you then.
Thanks, Bob.